Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome to a Monday. We'll call it Dark Monday, Nap Day, whatever you want to do. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John and Hugh from the Kia Studios as we start the work week on the short sleep night for everybody.
It's a rough Monday for some folks because we sprang forward yesterday. Well, Saturday. Well, right, yeah. Friday night. Well, yeah, Saturday.
Saturday.
Saturday, yeah, we sprang forward. So a lot of people are probably going through it. So wake up. Wake up.
Wake up.
And get through. If you get through this day, listen to it. Listen to this, people. If you make it through the day, you'll be okay. Go home. I know you probably, everybody works different shifts. I know I'm going to get home a little earlier than most of y'all. But just get home and take you a nap and just try to reprogram yourself. Because I was reading, but they said that, you know, there's no such thing as catching up on your sleep. So you just got to power through the day. And
You can't catch up on your sleep?
No, you can't.
I didn't know that.
Seriously. Are you being funny, John?
No, I'm being serious. I thought you could.
No, there's no scientific.
It's just lost.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
When it's gone, it's gone.
Man.
So, yeah, it's a wrap.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the $1.50 hot dogs at Mercedes-Benz Stadium yesterday.
Oh, yeah. That's about the only thing that people enjoyed.
Yeah.
It was a little – the crowd was great. The crowd was great, but it was a little – I think the outcome was a little lacking. They didn't lose. They tied, but I think that a lot of people felt that they should have taken control of the match a lot sooner.
Well, when Joseph scored 5 minutes in, right?
Yeah, you knew it was a route. You knew the route was coming.
Yeah, that's what you thought. You thought, oh, okay, thank goodness. We're back at home.
Here I even tweeted that out. I was like, are you happy now? Like, you know, almost like, are you not entertained? Because I was thinking that, okay, here we go. And as the match went on and you started to see, it was almost got a little nervous because it was like Cincinnati FC kind of hung around. They hung around. And what was that? The one goal that got negated?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, yeah. You're like, okay.
The header, yeah.
Okay, yeah. You're like, okay. And then they finally tied it up late in the match. And you're like, okay, this is not a good look. This is not a good look. Now, I am not one to push the panic button. But when you have Taylor Twellman and the analysts talking about the way the team is playing and the fact that they're, you know, they're not playing with that same kind of fire, mm-hmm. that's concerning. But again, you know, you've just been in a CONCACAF, you've played a lot of matches. So you're probably a little tired. You still haven't gotten your legs underneath you. It's not an excuse. That's a fact. That's a fact. They looked a little lackluster. But I still am not pushing the panic button with this team. I'm not.
Yeah, and so one of the things I noticed yesterday was as soon as the game ended, and if you were there, you noticed this too, there were boos descending from the crowd. And those boos are all directed at one person, the new head coach. Because, you know, for it to be, you know, for them to be tired, look, we understand that their legs are heavy. And they're going to have to play Monterey again on 48, 72 hours rest. They're going to have to play another game against this Monterey team on Wednesday night. Their legs are going to be dead tired then too. And that's why, you know, you'll see it probably a lot more of Tito, and you'll see a lot more, you know, that's why you pull Petey out with 20 minutes to go and put Andrew Carlton in is just to get him some rest too. But even having said that, Hugh, it isn't necessarily about the fact that they're a little tired and they're a little leg dead. It's the lack of being on the same page. I mean, Breck Shea can't serve a ball to save his life. You know, Petey is not you know, connecting with Joseph yet. And, you know, that may come. All of it may come.
That's a little
boy,
disjointed. And right now, you know, when you're used to seeing, like I said, again, this goes back to we just played in December. And you're thinking that it shouldn't be what it is, but it is. And part of that, I think it is, Frank DeBoer a little bit. I think his philosophy is a little different. But I will say this, because I know a lot of people out here are mad about that. But who's to say that once they get acclimated to this new philosophy, that it won't be beneficial in the long run? And another thing, MLS season just started. We're 2 weeks in. I don't think there's any need for anybody to start calling for anybody's job or pushing the panic button. Now, I know that's easy to say, you know, for me, because I think I'm a little bit – sometimes I can be a little bit too patient. A little bit too patient sometimes, AT, a little bit too patient. But I'm looking at it and I can see – I see the potential – but I understand that people don't – sometimes you just aren't willing to wait. Now, it's like that for me.
Well, when the game ended yesterday, I threw something up on Twitter, and I said one word that describes ATLUTD right now. And in the couple hundred responses, you know, you see stuff like – here's some of the words what you expect. You know, lost, broken, lethargic, you know, talk goes on and on. Disgusting, frustrating – horrible, terrible, I mean, everything you can imagine what would be unwatchable. But the one that gets you is the new phrase, deboring.
Yeah, you sent me that one last night, and I was just like, wow, that was pretty tough. You know, and when I watch sports, I always defer. I mean, I go by what I see. But when there's somebody who actually played the game, you know, you kind of listen to what they have to say and you kind of defer to them a little bit because they've actually been out there on the pitch and they know what they're talking about. Taylor Twellman, yesterday when I was listening to him and him talk, and he was echoing some of the same things that the fans said about the team looks a little disjointed. It looks like Frank DeBoer is being stubborn in the way that he's playing certain people. Right. And he was talking about Eric Remedy and how he had him playing. And on the pitch yesterday. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, And he was like, you know, just – it almost reminded me a little bit of Gabe Kapler last year because he was talking about how
right.
You're playing people out of position.
That's a good call.
He was talking about how you're playing people out of position. And I was like, really can't argue with that, you know, because
right.
this is a guy who's forgotten – more soccer than I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like you listen to that and you're like, I hear what he's saying, but still, it's still a process of where you have to kind of let it play itself out. Now, again, it's still early in MLS season. And I am a firm believer that Darren Eales and, you know, Carlos Bocanegra, they took their time and they went through the list of candidates for this job. And I still believe that they picked the best guy for the job. I really do. But at the same time, when I look at what I saw yesterday against a team, the upstarts in Cincinnati like that, and the way that the match played, it you know, you know what your gut's telling you, but the eye test is telling you something different. So I'm a little conflicted when it comes to that.
We'll certainly get into Atlanta United. Mike Connie will join us later in the program. At the top of the 7 o'clock hour, we'll be jumping into your calls and your reaction. We're just coming on the heels of this 1-1 draw with the FC Cincinnati in its second ever game. And
that's the thing. See, that's the kicker right there. That's almost like the New England Patriots of now playing an expansion team in the NFL and playing them to a draw. A little bit, you know, that might be a little bit extreme. But that's kind of what it felt like yesterday.
A couple other headlines this morning on this dark Monday morning on daylight savings time. It occurs to me it's going to be dark until halfway through our show, isn't it? It's going to be dark until 8-ish. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, right. The Legends won yesterday, if you were not paying attention. Aaron Murray threw for over 300 yards. What a shock. You mean Aaron Murray had a big day?
All right, then I'll be the first to tell you. I called that one wrong before anybody want to call me out and say I didn't think they was going to score a touchdown. I called it wrong. I just called what I felt, though. I just called it like I felt it.
Yeah, and 27-23, 306 yards for Aaron Murray.
It came late. I did watch. I watched a lot more of this than I thought I would yesterday. But they played well. I saw a lot of the second half, and he put up numbers, and they were functional on third down conversions. That's what helped them get the win yesterday.
I'll see.
And he threw the touchdown. I want to say it came in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Aaron Murray showing out and trying to, you know, now that he's got control of the team, we'll see if Aaron Murray can lead the Legends, who are now 2-3, to something this season. Also, the Hawks split over the weekend. Trae Young had a triple-double on Saturday and a loss to Brooklyn. Yesterday, Kevin Huerter had 27 as they beat the Pelicans.
With Anthony Davis on the floor. What did he have, like 10 points?
Was he out there? He had 23, didn't he?
No.
I want to say it was 15.
Oh. Yeah, you're right, 15. I was looking at the box score, and I forgot.
He
15.
He played only 21 minutes, though. Mm.
He was still out there, though, AT.
Yeah, but his heart's not in it. There was a video of him.
Heart isn't in it.
The team was running onto the court at the beginning of the game before introductions, and he was walking. So the team ran out to the court. He was walking.
Is he, he's at Lakerland already? Is that what you're saying?
He's on trade land. He doesn't know. Maybe with the way the Lakers are playing right now, he may not want to go there.
Right, exactly. Braves.
They still got a chance, though.
Played over the weekend.
Chance for what? Yeah.
They might make. Like, they're only, their seventh games? Listen, it ain't over to the fat lady scene. Or wait a minute, I shouldn't say that because that's not PC. Okay. It isn't over to I don't know what to say. Just leave it like it is.
They're done.
They're not done. They got a chance. They got a chance.
The Braves, who I played over the weekend, as we are 2 weeks out, we have the Braves and knocking on the door of coming back to Atlanta and playing at SunTrust Park. Josh Donaldson had his debut, and need to see more of that. Want to see a little bit more. Interesting now that the Braves have a chance to kind of lock down their rotation. I still think Craig Kimbrell is a possibility. I know that Mark Bohm was tweeting about it over the weekend, saying it's not necessarily dead yet. But, boy, we're starting to push it a little bit late. We'll see what happens this week with that. Today is the big day of NFL free agency. It opens up today. Of course, Antonio Brown gets traded over the weekend.
Congratulations, first,
right?
To
exactly.
Antonio Brown.
Finally traded to the Oakland Raiders.
I don't know what to say about Antonio Brown. He's different. I'm just going to leave it at that. He's different. He became a little annoying this weekend with the videos and stuff. He became with the Raiders stuff. But I get it. His social media platform, he probably has a million followers or whatever. I mean, you do that. People love that stuff. I thought it was a little annoying, though.
Well, my first take was I heard, you know, some fans say, you know, that they don't trust John Gruden and Gruden's going to ruin this. And I say you got to give John Gruden a chance just to – look, John Gruden won this by a mile. He just essentially traded Amari Cooper for Antonio Brown and did not give up a first-round pick, still has three first-round picks.
Yeah. And you got to see what he's going to do with it. I tell you what, though, he had to make a big splash. The Raiders had to do something because, you know, you trade away Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. You got to get a big name in there now.
What if they get Le'Veon Bell?
That's the conversation. I don't think they'll be able to get them both, though, because it's going to be hot and heavy for Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, it will be.
And there's some other teams that got a lot more bread than the Raiders have. It's going to be interesting in the sense that All the negativity that John Gruden took last football season, I wonder how quickly that's going to turn around. And I wonder how much Raider Nation has gotten back on the bandwagon now since you have Antonio Brown
exactly.
Back there. Because I'm telling you, man, it's funny. NFL fans of any professional sport for that matter, they're funny to me because they will disown their team and they will burn a jersey until that team does something that excites them again or brings you right back in.
All right, it is a busy Monday. We have a lot to get to, so I'm going to give you a little dive into the show here real quick. 7 o'clock hour, in about 45 minutes, we're really going to jump into Atlanta United and get all your calls and your texts and your tweets, okay? We'll do that at 7 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, we're going to jump into the NFL and AB. Next, though, it's college basketball tournament week. Ahead after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason. Morning show with John and Hugh on this first day of extended darkness in the morning. Everybody calls it daylight savings time, but
if you're like
one of us who work the morning hours, it's darkness extended time for your morning commute. We mentioned just before the break, Hugh, that just to give people a little insight into the show so that, because I know people are like chomping at the bit. Some United fans are chomping at the bit.
Oh, yeah, they got a lot to say.
They do have a lot to say. And we're going to get to you and your calls in the 7 o'clock hour. We kind of cleared the decks for you there. But we've got an awful lot from this weekend. As mentioned, today is the first day of free agency. Antonio Brown's been traded. Rams just did a deal, by the way, with Dante Fowler. And what will the Falcons do, if anything, today in terms of free agency or making any moves? We'll see what happens here, because it's legal tampering, which means open negotiations. Will Tevin Coleman get an offer, for example, today? That's entirely possible.
Yeah, all of that. All of that in a bag of chips.
So we'll get into that in the 8 o'clock hour. As for their other major news, it's a huge week. Josh Pastner, head coach of Georgia Tech, is going to join us at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about the ACC tournament, because the tournament's open up for Georgia, Georgia Tech. And congratulations, by the way, to Georgia State for winning the Sun Belt regular season title over the weekend, knocking off their rivals down in Statesboro when they knocked off Georgia Southern. And the Panthers' win over the Eagles gives them the outright title in the regular season.
Congratulations. Does it give them a bid in NCAA, though?
No. You know what it does do, though? It does one thing, though.
What's that?
Since the NCAA, about, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, the NCAA bought the NIT. So the NIT is owned by the NCAA now. It used to be separate organizations.
Mm-hmm.
When the NCAA bought the NIT, they changed the rules a little bit. And one of the rule changes I really liked was, if you win your regular season title, in this case, Georgia State, if you win your regular season and you don't win and you're in a one-bid league and you don't win your tournament, somebody else goes to the NCAA tournament, you're automatically in the NIT. So Georgia State's going to the postseason regardless. They're going to go to the
NIT.
I know.
Hey, but hold up, John. Now, you can't be hyped for Georgia State to go to the NIT, but then killing Georgia Tech for going to the NIT or Georgia for going. You can't do that. You can't have the best of both worlds, man. You can't do that. Not being the Georgia homer that you can't have it like that.
Yeah, what are you trying to give them a participation trophy?
Yeah, like you peeped that. See, you can't do that.
I'm trying to do something.
No, you're being nice. I know you're being positive, but no, you got to be.
What positive is? All right, so
you got to be even keel. You got to be fair and balanced for everybody.
The Selection Sunday, of course, next Sunday, or this Sunday, depending on how you look at it. Georgia Tech opens the ACC tournament, Hugh, on tomorrow at 2 o'clock against Notre Dame, and then the winner of that game will face Louisville on Wednesday. Georgia opens Wednesday against Missouri in Nashville. ACC tournament's in Charlotte, which is wrong, by the way. It's just wrong. ACC tournament should be in Greensboro, but that's all right. SEC's in Nashville. Georgia against Missouri on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Sun Belt will be in New Orleans. And Georgia State won't play until next Saturday. They get a big old bye in the Sun Belt tournament. They get a bye all the way to the semifinals. So we'll see what happens with Georgia State in the Sun Belt tournament in New Orleans. Right now, Joe Lenardi has Georgia State as the number 14 seed in the tournament.
NIT?
In bracketology. Yeah.
Bracketology. Gotcha.
So, and it's going to be, if there's no Zion, it's going to be an interesting tournament. If there's Zion, the tournament's over. But there's no Zion because, boy, Duke, Duke's 3-3 since Zion got injured. Now, granted, two of those losses are to North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina chirping about those two wins, too, a little bit. With their co ACC champions or something like that, number 2 seed or something, yeah, they're chirping about that with Virginia. Thank you there, AT. Yeah, with Virginia, mm-hmm. They're chirping a little bit as they should. I mean, it's probably a different animal if he plays, but I think the biggest question is whether or not he's going to step out on the court again.
Right. That's to me. I still wonder. I mean, Mike Krzyzewski says yes, he's going to be there when they open ACC tournament play on Thursday, but is he? I mean, he hasn't played in a month.
I think he'll be there. He'll probably be a little rusty. And, again, you know what the thing about this is, John? He can go out there and he can look a little sluggish. He's probably going to be a little winded because he hasn't played in such a long time. Still going to be number one draft pick.
Oh, he's number one draft pick. Yeah. I mean, by a mile.
I remember
which
when
is why
Ben Simmons.
You wonder why.
Because he's a beast.
No, you wonder why he would play.
Because he wants to. I mean, he's made it clear that he wants to play for a title. He wants to play for a title. But it all depends. I know he's probably I'm just thinking about rehab protocol and what he's able to do. But I'm telling you, nothing's like going out there and playing. You have to play the game. He's probably riding the bike vigorously. He's probably trying to do everything that he possibly can, you know, to make sure that when he does come back, that he's not going to be that winded. But it's hard. If you're not running up and down the court, you're not getting those minutes out there, it's hard to come back and be who you were when you left the court. It's hard to do that.
Yeah, especially with a month off.
Yeah.
But, you know, he'll have to get back into playing shape. But we'll see what happens with Duke and with Zion this week. That'll be another interesting story. Well, boy, we have four teams that are already in, okay? Four teams that are into the tournament right now. Those four teams are Murray State, that's that Ja Morant, who is Ja Morant at Murray State. You might want to watch him play in the tournament, because if Zion is the number one pick, and we all agree, everybody seems to agree that Ja Morant of Murray State is the number two overall pick. He can flat play. He is so good that, yeah, again, Murray State's got the number two pick, and that makes you wonder how far they can go in the tournament if they have the number two player in the nation, at least the number two draft pick. Bradley's in from the Mo Valley. Bradley Brazier back. Gardner Webb makes it in for the first. The pride of Boiling Springs, North Carolina.
Hey, I remember I played against Gardner Webb when they were in NAIA school. That's pretty impressive to move up from NAIA school to Division One and then to make it to the tourney. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive.
And Liberty, the Flames of Liberty with Liberty University in Virginia are into the tournament. So four teams in and 64 more to go in terms of the NCAA. I think there'll be one or two settled tonight. And a bunch more tomorrow. We have titles all week. It's championship week. But the bigger story that is overarching all of this that really happened over the weekend, LSU wins the SEC's regular season title. Now you would say, well, John, didn't they just lock down a postseason spot? I mean, ha, 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 because they would be going to the NCAA tournament either way. Question is, will LSU's title be vacated? What's going to happen here? I think they're going to let LSU play. I don't think they're going to stop them from playing for the rest of the year, Hugh. But their head coach, Will Wade, has been suspended because of this FBI wiretap.
Did you hear the cuts? They got him, I guess from his perspective, he was blindsided with this. He didn't know it was coming.
He didn't know he was being wiretapped.
Well, yeah, that too. But he didn't know this was coming. He, as a matter of fact, when they asked him about it, he was like, no, I didn't know anything about it. He was kind of like alluding to the fact that he woke up one morning and he just found out from the media that he wasn't allowed to be around the team.
He's wrong. This story has been out there since last summer in terms of the possibility of both LSU and Arizona being, as among other schools, Kansas being another one, being implicated in this shoe scandal. And the comments you refer to, Hugh, he talks about when the reporter asked if he knew about the story coming down the pipe, and he said, well, I learned about it 30 minutes ago. So
yeah, that's what he was talking about.
The outlet doesn't have to tell you when the story is going to be published.
Right.
So regardless of that, he never denied that he was involved in any of this, yet the audio tape, which we haven't heard yet, does exist. The school did the right thing in suspending him. And they took the player, taking the player off the team for the time being as well.
Javante Smart.
Yes, who was involved in this. So they're playing with an interim coach. Hopefully LSU can take advantage of this and go on a run, like you said last week, like Michigan did several years ago when Steve Fisher stepped in.
Will Wade, one of the best young coaches in the nation, and now you wonder about his future in the NCAA.
My thing is this. We all know it goes on. I guess it's just that if you get caught, that's what makes it so bad when you get caught. We all know it goes on, though. If anybody sits there and acts like they don't know that their school is paying for athletes,
right,
then something ain't right. Because you can see it even when you're on campus. You can see they're probably living differently than you were, and y'all all are students.
Oh, athletes always get treated differently. I mean, star athletes have always been treated differently. I've seen, you know, working at three universities, well, four almost, I've seen the boosters do the $100 handshakes all the time. I mean, those are commonplace. You know, you take a $100 bill, wrap it up in your hand, and then you go in and you dap somebody up. You know,
you're getting a palm. Yep. The palm. Of,
yep. So, hey, how you doing? So, you know, yeah,
you sound happens. Like one of those handshakes went to you, John.
So anyway,
Johnny's to get them $200 handshakes.
No, I had to give the handshakes out. I didn't get
giving
any
$200.
So Will Wade is wrapped up in this. So LSU's got a cloud over it. NC State is wrapped up under this because Now ESPN reporting that Wolfpack head coach Mark Gottfried has been was twice provided envelopes by his assistant or his man. I tell you what, this is going to be bad news. Arizona's head coach Sean Miller, one of the best coaches in the nation, said goodbye to the fans at the McHale Center after Arizona's last game. He just up and grabbed the mic and said, "It's been my pleasure." You know, I basically did a mic drop. I'm out. And so,
but he really didn't.
Yeah, but he said goodbye. Why would you grab? I mean, it sure sounded like it.
Oh, it definitely sounded like it, but he didn't actually say it. So
I wonder who's going to do the Nino Brown. Who's going to do a Nino Brown and tell on everybody? You know, this is not somebody's not going quietly into the night. Somebody's not going to do that.
The main name in this is Christian Dawkins. So how much has he already?
And he's in prison, right?
Right.
Huh? He's in prison, right?
Well, he hasn't gone yet.
He hasn't gone yet.
But it remains to be seen how many coaches or assistant coaches and players he implicates in this whole situation.
No, could you imagine if you were, like, sitting around hoping and praying the sweet little baby Jesus that your name does not come up in everything that's going on? Hoping, please don't let him say my name. Please. Doubling up on your car payments because you don't know what's about to happen next. Yeah, that's not a good feeling.
I see you, Five Stripers. We're going to give you a crack at it. Don't worry. You're going to get a shot. Let's update you on where we stand with the Hawks, and then we'll roll into the whole story about the Five Stripes. That's coming on the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
And the Atlanta Hawks, on the second night of a back-to-back, have come away with a victory over the New Orleans Pelicans. Your final score, Hawks 128 and the Pelicans 116.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Hawks split a weekend home and home with Brooklyn and the New Orleans Pelicans, losing to the Nets and then beating New Orleans. Welcome back to the morning show. I know a lot of you, again, chomping at the bit to talk about Atlanta United. We'll do that at the top of the hour. A lot of ways for you to get involved in the program, as we mentioned. You can always call the show at 404-741-0929. You can now text us because the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is up and running at 404-741-0929, and you text it to that number. Or you can always tweet us as well at 929TheGame, and we're asking you on there, if you're a United fan, to give us one word from you that describes how you feel about the team after that game last night. Back to the Hawks. Triple-double on Saturday in a losing effort for Trae Young, 27 for Kevin Huerter yesterday. But I got a bigger question for you, Hugh. In the two games, John Collins, 56 points and 30 rebounds. Are we so locked in with Trae Young and his growth that we're missing the bigger story, and that's John Collins is blowing into a star?
No, I don't think so. I think because you were talking about it earlier this year a little prematurely, I might add, but you were on to something. You were what they call, what's that word I'm looking for, AT, cutting edge, trend setting, what John Freaky was when he was talking about John Collins being a potential star before everybody else was on that star bandwagon. Whatever that word was, that's what you were. But no, I think that this young team is starting to come together at the right time, and they're starting to show flashes of what you got them here for. And I think that's important, especially when you're talking about the way that the NBA is trying to be built nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about Golden State Warriors being the first team to set that trend of drafting good players and letting them grow together. And then you're seeing what the Philadelphia 76ers has done with the process.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's fair to say that you're starting to see the maturation of these young players early in their careers here in the NBA.
I think you're also seeing, if I might, Hugh, with Trae Young and John Collins, the importance of Lloyd Pierce.
Yeah, that allows the young men to go out there and thrive and be themselves on the court. I mean, it's been a process. And the beautiful thing about this is, John, that we've been able to watch them grow from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, from the beginning of when, you know, John basically was kind of banged up at the beginning of the season.
Right.
And we were wondering when they were going to get out there, when Torian and those guys, when they were going to get a chance to all play together.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're starting to see that come alive a little bit. And not only that, you're starting to see contributions from different individuals every night, kind of what you need,
mm-hmm.
kind of what you need from a young team. You're talking about Kevin Huerter and his 27 points, and you're talking about Trae Young and the way that he's been balling the last couple of weeks. Had a little bit of a down night last night, had 10 points last night. But, yeah, you're starting to see other guys step up and take the load off him a little bit.
Yeah, we're talking about the Hawks here as they get ready to host their next game is against Memphis. Kind of an interesting little side note to what's going on with the Hawks. 14 games to go, and then, of course, all of our energy and all of our focus is going to go towards the NBA draft. The Hawks are currently number 5 in the ping-pong standings. You know, they have the 5th worst record in the NBA, and that's probably where they're going to stand, which will give them a 9% chance of getting the number 1 pick or something like that, 10% chance of getting the number 1 pick. They're going to have a top 5. You would think they'd have a top 5 pick. They could drop actually below 5, but, you know, there's a good chance I'll have a top 5 pick.
Mm-hmm.
What's most interesting to me is they have 2 first-round picks if they get Dallas's, okay? But Dallas gets to keep it if Dallas gets a top 5 pick, right? So that's how that works. Guess which team is right behind the Hawks at number 6 in the ping-pong standings right now? Dallas. They have fallen on their face. Now, I mean, some people might say you're tanking, but obviously Dallas wants to keep that pick. You know, so they want as many ping-pong balls as they can get to try to move up into the top 5. If Dallas doesn't move up to the top 5, Hawks get it. So the Hawks right now, if nothing changed and it went in order, the Hawks would have picks 5 and 6.
Yeah, what'd you say, roughly 14, 15 games ago?
Yeah, about 14 games to go,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's still a lot of basketball left to play. But I will say this, John. I understand that the pick is very important, but I also think it's very important for this team to play well down the stretch, for these young players to build that confidence for them down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that. So I'm of the mindset, I hear what you're saying, and I understand that most fans probably feel the same way that you do, but I am of the mindset that I would rather them play well down the stretch, win a couple more games to build that confidence going into next season.
Right. Well, they are 5 games below Dallas with 14 to go. I don't know that they can make that up. I mean, that's 5 games, unless Dallas just tanks, you know, and it looks like they're doing. Which, by the way, brings up another point, too. With Dallas tanking the way they are, and Dallas falling to the number 6 spot in the overall league standings, right below or ahead of, depending on how you look at it, the Hawks, can you now make more of a case for Trae Young to be Rookie of the Year, that Luka Doncic isn't exactly taking Dallas to gigantic heights? That's what I'm thinking.
I'm honestly thinking it might be co-MVP. Co-Rookie of the Year. I'm sorry, it might be that. I think that Trae has come on strong mm-hmm. at the end of the season, but I think that the front running that Luka Doncic has done for most of the season is probably going to be one of those things where people are going to remember that. And if anything, I think the best you can hope for is probably co-MVP.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I think that both of them are really good young players. And the Hawks win this trade by a mile because I think they are co. I'll give you co-Rookie of the Year. You know what?
No, we were talking about the potentially winning some more games during the rest of the
oh, you looked at the schedule?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I
no, I'm saying outside that, of Memphis, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got some heavy hitters in there who are playing for serious playoff
position.
Yeah,
I was looking like, you got New Orleans again. You got what? Houston. Utah. Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Portland. Milwaukee. San Antonio.
Yeah.
Philadelphia. Yeah. Milwaukee.
Yeah, not going to be easy. Milwaukee wants that number 1 seed. Yeah.
But if they do get better.
Right, but if they do get, like, let's say, Hugh, they get the number 6 or 7 or even number 8 pick, you essentially just traded Trae Young and Luka Doncic for Trae Young and this and a first round and a top 10 first round pick. That's a great deal.
Yeah. And I think that now it's up to Travis Lincoln, those guys. You got to draft well. You got to draft extremely well.
Right.
And so far, look like they've done a pretty good job of doing that.
I would say Travis Schlenk knows what he's talking about when it comes to basketball. I mean, look at, you know.
A little bit.
How about John Collins and Trae Young and Kevin Huerter? I mean, pretty good start. Let's see what he does this year in terms of getting the right guy. I trust, look, you mentioned it's interesting. You talked about 2 teams, Hugh. You said the Hawks are like Golden State started it and then Philadelphia. Where are the Hawks' brain trust from? Travis Schlenk was at Golden State, and Lloyd Pierce was at Philadelphia. Yeah, I mean, you could see where this – again, be Hawks cool before the Hawks are cool. Because if they draft well, then after next season, Tony Russell is going to go after the free agent. You know what I'm saying? So I think the Hawks – not next year.
Wait a minute. You're talking about after this – if they draft well next season, this year, then they're going to go after the free agent next year?
After next season.
Yeah, we're talking about – I don't think so.
Well, Tony Russell says he wants to spend the money.
To get I think – see, now, this is my thought, and I know AT probably feels totally different than I do, Let these young cats grow together. Let's see.
No,
what you got.
I'm just talking about getting one guy.
No, I know what you're saying, but what if that one guy comes in and kind of takes over the whole shebang? Kind of weird. What if he does what LeBron did and try to trade everybody?
Or go Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. And try to trade everybody.
All right, United fans, here's the deal. We're going to open up the phone lines. We want you to call at 404-741-0929. We want you to go to our Twitter at 929TheGame and answer the question, what one word describes Atlanta United right now? Let's talk about the state of your team, what Taylor Twellman said about your coach. Next, with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 929TheGame.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.